We are 10 days away from the 2024 NFL Draft. This is going to be a lot of fun these next 10 days, and I can't wait to talk a little bit more about the draft and about some of my recent mocks, especially my most recent mock, or actually I should say my second most recent, because I'm doing so many of these, I'm losing count, everybody. But one of my most recent mocks, I really have to say I really enjoyed that one. I think I was able to accomplish pretty much everything that you can accomplish in terms of filling needs, getting value, getting really great talent early, getting some great talent late. And then the other thing too is that it's just a bonus, which is, can you set yourself up for future success and trade for future picks? And I was able to do that. And so I did all those things in this one draft. And so I want to go over not the entire thing, which again, I do intend on doing. I intend on doing what I'm going to do next week in terms of just as a precursor to the draft. And then my hope is to be able to do some recording as if possible at all. I don't know how the schedule is going to pan out for me, but I'd like to do a little bit of live recording and be able to kind of see the picks as they come and see the board laid out in real time. So I want to try to do that. And so I'll do my best to get some of that, especially early in the draft. And then once the 49ers pick comes on, I'm hopeful that I'll be home by then and be able to do it. But for sure, what I want to do is I want to do a full 7-round mock again and next week. And so instead of, though, doing the full 7-round mock as I've already done and kind of going pick by pick, I'm going to try to, from all the mocks that I've done, and it's been a lot, as I've said, I want to pick my favorite picks at each spot, each round. And I may do one that's with trades and one without trades. I haven't decided yet. Probably will. But for today, what I wanted to do is I want to talk about draft crushes, right? These are the guys, these are the players where you just tend to pick them. If they're in that spot, in that range, you tend to select them. And for me, I have a couple of players, and I'm going to probably talk about 3 to 4 of them. Maybe we'll see if time permits. We'll talk about a few more, but for sure, at least 3 of them. And these are just guys that once I see them come up on the board, whether it's the 3rd round, the 2nd round, you know, all the way, because after that first pick, then it gets really interesting to kind of see, especially with the 49ers having the 63rd pick in the 2nd round. So you're kind of going further and deeper into the 2nd. You're almost into the 3rd and then going on all the way into the 7th. And 49ers have a lot of those mid-round picks in the 4th and the 5th round, and as well as multiples in the 7th. And so with that said, I do want to talk about, again, this most recent draft that I did. And then I'll definitely get into my draft crushes. All right. But for now, thank you again for joining me. I am your host, Guy Diehl, and this is the Golden Pick Podcast. A lot of fun. Can't wait to get to the draft. Can't believe it's just 10 days away. It is flying by, everybody. And I'm trying to do as many mocks as I can, to be honest, as just a prep for me, you know. And I don't know, for those of you who haven't listened to the show much, I am a big fan of scouting. I'm obviously a huge 49ers fan, but I'm a fan of the game of scouting, of being able to develop talent, to put together a roster and do it in a way that you're always sort of having a healthy roster and a healthy amount of depth to pull from. And I think that the 49ers recently have found a way to do that, whether that's because they're constantly replenishing their draft stock because their staff gets hired, which is obviously very beneficial. But I think it's also just the way that the 49ers go about adding picks in general, you know, whether it's through trades, whether it's just not trading away a lot of picks, unless it's for premium talent like they did with CMC when they traded a 2nd, a 3rd, and a 4th for CMC. Things like that, situations that come up like that where it's just a premium player, 1st round level, 2nd round level type guy, it makes total sense. But in general, I think that the 49ers have done a great job not making foolish trades. And so, you know, one thing, like I said, for me, that's a lot of fun is to try to, when I do these mock drafts, if I am going to do with trades, I try to do the same thing and almost pretend like John and Kyle would and put myself in that GM seat and say, okay, yes, I'm picking players that fit needs, that obviously have a ton of talent and get as much value as you can from the slot that you're on, that you're in. But also, how do I also add picks for the future? And so in this most recent mock, or one of the most recent mocks, excuse me, that I've done, I actually made a few trades. I made a trade with Washington and a trade with Pittsburgh. And so let me go over my first trade. So I did make a selection at 31st overall, and I did take Amarius Mims, who's become one of my favorite tackles in this draft class, and someone who, out of Georgia, played in a conference where he was facing premium talent at defensive end constantly. And again, it's just, for me, it's also just the technique. I just really like technique. I think he's someone that could, in the future, right now he'd probably be more of a right tackle, but in the future he could replace Trent Williams and be our future left tackle and do a really great job at it. And so I did pick Mims at 31, but after Amarius Mims, that's when the fun began with the trades. And so I use a free system because as those of you, I haven't shared too much in my life, but I'm in education, so I'm on a budget and I'm not a professor. So, you know, I definitely am on a budget. And so I use Mock Draft Database. And what they do is, for those who haven't used it, I know a lot of people use PFF and a lot of other simulators. But with this one, it's a pretty good free simulator. And it what they do is they give you trade offers. And so throughout the draft, before your pick comes up, you'll have multiple offers from different teams. And some of these are more realistic than others. You know, sometimes they'll offer you a sixth and a seventh for like a third. And I don't really think that a lot of teams would do that. Or they offer their own pick, but it's not that great. I actually think this one was fairly realistic. And so I just went ahead and I did it. And so what I did was I traded my second round pick, which is the 49ers, again, the 63rd pick overall, to Washington. And remember now, Washington has Adam Peters over there. So I always think about that. What are teams that have ties to the 49ers? You know, the Dolphins have Mike McDaniels. And in one of my mocks recently, I traded up to 21 to grab, I think it was Taliese Fuaga. And he only, or not he, but the Dolphins in the simulator only asked me for the 31st pick. And I think I gave up either my second or my third. I can't remember, which I do think it's a lot in a way, but I think in real life, they might say, we need the first pick, your second, and maybe a future pick to move up into, you know, 10 spots in the first round. You know, it's possible. Or maybe your first, a third, and next year's second, something of that nature, you know. So, because it's a lot of value, especially in this draft that is really, really rich in value, and it's deep in value at offensive line and wide receiver, a bunch of different spots. Edge has a lot of good depth as well. So that said, I traded with Washington and, you know, Adam Peters' team now, and they asked for, or sorry, they gave me back. So again, my 63rd pick, they gave me back their 67th pick. So I'm only going back four slots. So I said, okay, that's pretty nice. So 67th pick, then they gave me also their fifth round this year. So 152, their 152nd, and then their seventh, their 222nd. So you're thinking, okay, not a ton of value, five and seven. I actually think the fifth round is good value because the 49ers typically do pretty well in that round. But other than that, I was like, okay, well, what else? They actually also gave me their third rounder next year. And I'm like, okay, that's actually pretty good value, because even assuming that Washington does pretty well this year, let's say they end up in the middle of the pack or a little bit above, that's still a mid third round pick added on to the second that I got back, right, which was the 67th. So kind of, again, I'm trading back only four spots. So in terms of player value and talent, they were targeting somebody at 63 that they really wanted. Whereas for me, I have a bunch of guys I can pick at 63, but I also have a bunch of guys that should still be there at four picks later at 67. So it wasn't a huge loss. And I added a fifth this year, a seventh this year, and then a third next year. So I thought that was a pretty good trade for me to make. So I made that one. And then the other trade I made was with Pittsburgh. And let me take a look at here, I'm trying to zoom in on my phone. And so for them, I gave up. So let's see, what did I give up? Looks like I gave up my third round 67th. Oh, so actually, I ended up trading that pick that I got back from Washington. And I didn't even realize I did this, but I traded Washington's pick. I was doing this so fast, everybody, that's why I didn't realize that it was the same exact pick. So I traded that Washington pick, the 67th overall, so third rounder, early third, and I got back Pittsburgh's 84th pick, so the third round, their third round pick in 84th overall, their fourth rounder, which was 119th overall, and their future fifth rounder next year. So I got a third and a fifth in 2025 from this one move, which I think is pretty good. And again, I did eventually lose out that second round pick, but I got back a third rounder, a fourth rounder. And for me, I have a lot of fun in those three through six round ranges. And I think there's so much player depth that it didn't hurt me. It really didn't hurt. I don't think it did. So I'll just say real quick, with that 84th pick, and for those of you who, if he's not on your radar yet, I think he should be. So I did go edge. Okay, so I went offensive tackle with my 31st, and then I went edge with my second pick. You can go a lot of different directions here. There's cornerbacks, although a lot of them are gone by the time you get into the 70s and 80s. A lot of the premium ones are gone. So you really have to try to scout for who, you know, is a really good technical corner, who's not holding, who's got good size, who plays the ball well, who, again, stays on their man, all those things, who helps in run support. So, you know, for me, I thought it just made more sense that this gentleman here fell to 84, and I do think he fell, and that was edge rusher for Oregon, Brandon Dorlus, big dude. Oregon, I mean, we're famous for picking Oregon Ducks in guys like Defoe, Buckner, DeForest Buckner. We got Buck in 2016, I believe. And then the year before, we had Eric Armstead, who, you know, obviously we didn't re-sign. But again, very productive player for us. Again, DeForest is definitely the more decorated of the two, but quality players, big guys, 6'6", 6'7", 290 plus. And Dorlus is no different. I believe he's in that 6'6 range as well. And I think he's also 290 plus. I don't have his exact numbers in front of me. He's a big dude, really big dude, powerful guy, a lot of agility and burst. And so I really enjoyed his game. So Mims and Dorlus were my first two picks. So like I said, I thought I got a lot of value early. And Dorlus isn't always there, right? This just happened that it worked out. I mean, maybe I would have taken a corner. Or I could have traded again, you know. So there's a lot of different, if I didn't like that spot or who was there. So like you can always keep or take a wide receiver a little bit early, but you could do that, add some receiver depth, and so do that. But that's, I just wanted to talk a little bit about that just because I think it's a lot of fun to kind of play around with this and in the way where maybe you're trying to predict what's really going to happen. And I do think the 49ers are going to make at least one trade, probably multiple trades. It's just something that Kyle and John have done a lot of in their draft. And they do like to not only get picks for, you know, whether it's compensatory in the off season, but they also, they do on draft day, they like to be very active and very aggressive. And so, yeah, that's kind of what I did. Just wanted to talk a little bit about that. And then now onto the actual episode, right, which is draft crushes. You know, just these are guys that you see that you tend to just pick them a lot when you're doing your mocks. And for me, there's a few guys that I just really like the tape, and it's just nice when they're available around the area where you're going to pick. Sometimes they get taken earlier. Sometimes they're still sitting there later than you think they should be. But the first one, I'm going to go with a guy that I typically see in the seventh round, and I don't know why. Again, there's some of this stuff, maybe people can chime in if they're fans of that team, that university. But when I see guys that, you know, they're getting double digit numbers in terms of passes defensed, for example, with a corner, or the guy is, you know, making tackles for loss everywhere. He's all over the place. He's fast, all these things. I don't understand how some of these guys fall so much. Good size. And so one guy for me, about 6 feet, 200, maybe 190, but really good corner, quick, helps in the run game, but just really smart when the ball's in the air. And that's Dwight McLuthern. Really like Dwight McLuthern in that sixth or seventh round range. And he's typically there. So he's the cornerback out of Arkansas. At 6 feet, like I said, probably 190, 200 pounds. Dwight is a guy who he can play the slot, but he plays on the outside so well. And I think he's big enough to play the outside receivers, anybody's number one, because I think he, not only does he have the size, it's enough size, but I think that it's the length and it's his ability to close in on receivers, whether that's on those 10 to 15 yard routes or the deeper 20, 25, 30 yard routes. It's just really, really fun to watch when you turn on his tape. And so he's very much a dynamic guy. For those of you who have listened to the show for a little bit, you know, I like when guys are dynamic. There's a burst to their game. And I like that about Dwight McLuthern. So Dwight McLuthern is a guy who I took again in the seventh, early seventh, but he was there as a corner. And he's somebody that I just, like I said, typically I draft him when I have a chance. And I've taken corners earlier. I'm not waiting until the seventh to take a corner. I know that it's a need for the 49ers. But if I see a guy in the fifth, sixth, seventh, and I'm targeting him, but I have other needs, obviously I just know in the back of my mind, oh, he'll be there, you know, because teams, you know, even in the simulator aren't like onto the fact that I feel like I'm in on a secret, right? Like, oh, I know that this guy's going to be really good. And who knows, maybe that's just me being my own mad scientist type of self and thinking that I know something the rest of the league doesn't. But for this guy in particular, like I said, he's a guy that if I see him, I draft him. Another guy that I tend to see, another defensive guy, and I see him a lot in that fifth round range, sometimes a little lower, but it's the linebacker out of Kentucky, Trevin Wallace. Really like Trevin Wallace. He's a guy that just a pure tackler all over the field, knows great vision, knows where to be and when to be there, and a guy who I think can actually play the pass as well as the run. And for some reason, he's a guy that just lasts way longer. And part of that, too, is I have to say there's a ton of value in linebackers in the mocks that I've done later in the draft. And so I think it's just probably this devaluing of the position that I see. And maybe this draft is not as deep in linebacker. That's possible as well. And, you know, I'll admit I watch some college ball, but I don't watch college football religiously. So please, you know, someone chime in on it. And I'm happy if anyone wants to chime in on that. But I he's a guy to me that I see on tape and I see a lot of value in. I think that for the 49ers, with you have Dre Greenlaw coming off major surgery, major ACL, contract situations not well defined past this season, past next season. And it's just somebody that it's a position group that needs more depth, I believe. And so Trevin Wallace is a guy that typically, if he's there in that fifth round range or sixth round range, I snag him up because there's talent everywhere in this draft. There's good depth, but when you also have needs, so you have to obviously weigh your needs and the value and the talent that's available. And for me, I already kind of know which position groups the 49ers value higher and which ones I value. And so I try to weigh those. And for me, getting a linebacker in the fifth round, kind of like we did with Dre Greenlaw, and he became a really good player, I think it's a ton of value if you can find those guys. And then another guy that I'll say, I said I was going to go three to four guys, and so I'll do two more. One guy that I really, really like watching, and it's kind of funny because when you're watching the tape on some of these first and second round talents, I don't just watch these guys that are the guys that are going to get picked, these high profile first and second rounders. I watch their teammates, especially if they, because I want to see, okay, I know that guy's good, but if 49ers aren't high enough in their pick slot to get him, we need to go a different direction unless we're going to trade up. And so for me, the guy that I really like watching is actually the teammate of Rook Arororo. I think I got it right. Rook Arororo's teammate, Tyler Davis. So Tyler Davis, take a look at Tyler if you haven't yet. Tyler Davis, defensive line out of Clemson. Just, I can't believe anybody ran the ball at all against Clemson this past season or past few seasons, because this dude is an absolute monster. Just built like an absolute truck. Huge dude, strong, and holds his point of attack. But more than that, he pushes the offensive guards, the centers, everybody out at least 2-3 yards every single time you turn on the tape. You know, sometimes 5 yards, he's pancaking dudes. So I really enjoy watching Tyler Davis. So take a look at Tyler Davis. He's, again, usually there in that third or fourth round range. And so a lot of work that goes into the scouting, at least in my opinion, for a lot of these teams is it's day one and day two. Everybody knows pretty much who's going to go. But once you get into the depths of day two, so the third round pick, and then you get into day three when it's all fourth through seventh rounders, that's where I think a lot of scouting departments, a lot of teams make their money. That's where you make your bones, and that's where you really earn the respect around the league that the 49ers have now, right? And I think getting guys like Tyler Davis, finding value in a program like Clemson, and being able to get a guy that just consistently has a great motor and is doing the job and is usually winning his matchups, to me, that's a guy that you can't just let sit there and, you know, let him go, you know? So great, great talent, amazing value at 132nd overall is where I got him, right before Trevon Wallace, who I just spoke about. And lastly, since we were talking about corners, I started with a corner. I think I should end with a corner. So this is, and I went from the back of the draft on up towards the earlier rounds. And this was a guy who I was able to select 119th overall. And that was part of one of those trades that I made. So this was one of the trades, one of the picks that I got back in the trades that I discussed earlier. But I took this gentleman here, Jarvis Brownlee Jr., cornerback out of Louisville. Another guy that just flashes just off the page constantly. And it's just, you can see while you're watching the tape, just it's just somebody who knows where he needs to be and makes an impact when he's there. Sure tackler. This guy, as they say, everybody, this guy's a dog. I really believe that this guy is going to be a terrific tackler. He's going to be a guy that is going to break up a lot of passes. So he's going to help you in the run and the pass. And again, pretty good size as well. I mean, he's somebody who kind of like Dwight McGluther, not a small guy. You could move him into the slot, but I would say that he's a little taller than Dwight. So I think to me, he's the bigger of the two. He profiles a little bit better, which is probably why he's drafted earlier. But just a really, really fun player to watch. Jarvis Brownlee Jr., cornerback out of Louisville, and somebody who I can see the 49ers taking and being able to slot him in. Because let's be honest, the depth in the cornerback room right now is all, that's all that it is after Mooney and Demo. It's just depth. It's not the amount of talent, we don't know yet. It's very, very unproven. So the more talent you can add into that cornerback room, the better. I honestly believe there's certain positions, any position on a football team, there you can never have enough of. But, you know, there's certain positions where you can never have enough quarterbacks. You can never have enough defensive and offensive linemen. You can never have enough running backs, right? Those guys that get injured a lot. But to me, you can never have enough corners. Because one day a corner is doing really well, or for one season he's doing really well, then the next season, you know, he has an injury or whatever, and it hampers his speed, it hampers his aggressiveness. And it's just, it doesn't even have to be a lot, but just small details totally change the game for guys that play the cornerback position. So, again, he was one of the few corners I picked in this draft, and one that I like to take a lot when I'm doing my mocks. So Just to recap, I started again from the back of the draft in the seventh with Dwight McLuthern, cornerback out of Arkansas. Then I went up to the 135th overall, Trevin Wallace, linebacker out of Kentucky. And then I went to the gentleman right before him, Tyler Davis, defensive line, Clemson, and then finished it off with 119th overall, Jarvis Brownlee Jr., cornerback out of Louisville. And that is the episode. That is my list. Please feel free to let me know what your list is. You can follow me on Twitter at RealDealSports. Thank you very much, everybody. Till next time, take care, faithful.